Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look, well, not for much longer, into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by Wiener Money. It's MLS. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at Century League Field, Brandon from the internet.
And he's very sad. I wish there was like a... I always sing along to our intro music. Da, 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 da. So I always think, like when we have a sad episode, it's like wah, 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 wah.
If anybody that can do music could actually make the like the real like stringy version of it, like wah, yeah. wah.
Just play our theme song or our intro music on a trombone, and I feel like we'll be okay.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, because it feels coming off of such a like debilitating match that we watched over the weekend. It feels really wrong to come in here with all of this energy. Like I feel. Still like garbage. Only a little bit of that can I attribute to the match. The rest of it I can attribute to the fact that my wife is out of town, and when she's out of town I'm an idiot, and I like stay up all night watching Monty Python movies that I've already seen 100 times.
Are you a Monty Python guy? Is that a thing?
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah,
because you brought it up to me the other day and I was like, wow, how random. And like, you know, I'm a few years older than you, and those are old for me.
Yeah.
And so for you to be into it, that's surprising.
I think I used to do some improv back in the day, yeah. and Monty Python was, I think, was a big inspiration for a lot of the silliness, a lot of the silly jokes. And yeah. The reason I brought up Monty Python, I brought up Life of Brian to you a couple weeks ago, and there was a reason that I have no idea now. It was pertinent to what we were talking about at the time.
Sure.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail is one of my favorite movies of all time. Monty Python Flying Circus, like the show, all of those sketches are brilliant. So,
God,
if anybody,
that bunny.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The bunny killing people is just, it's so good.
I love everything about it. If anybody ever wants to nerd, maybe that's what our like off-season podcast should be about. It's just, we can watch Monty Python and talk about it.
I'd still like to try, wait, we've got to address this because like I was joking in the intro, we're not ending the podcast. That's not why I said that, though it might have sounded like it. But we need to come up with some sort of content to do to make it worth wasting everyone's time. Because like, I know there's people out there painting houses and stuff like that put us on just to fill some time so that way they can, I don't know, hate themselves more or whatever it is. Like, boy, it's raining and cold and there's idiots yelling at me. Great.
And if we don't come up with something, we're going to have to start an OnlyFans and nobody wants that.
And all you can see right now, Brandon, is my top half. So you don't even know if I'm currently running another stream that is much
dude,
sexier.
It is. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it. Last weekend, so I was in Seattle. I came down and
what up?
And we were able to watch the match together in a safe manner, and it was very nice.
No, you know what you shouldn't have talked about is you shouldn't have told your wife that you told me about your dog interrupting you guys doing it. What were you thinking?
she you know what? She hasn't mentioned it. So
okay, good,
I think
good.
In the moment she reacted. So we were staying with a couple friends while we were in Seattle, best friend of Catherine's from high school, and I accidentally saw my friend's penis.
Oh,
so it's a weird.
Did you see it? Did you see the roller coaster I went through right there? I thought you saw maybe a naked lady, and I was like, whoa.
No,
and
quite,
then it was like
quite the opposite.
Hey, listen, for the Wiener Time podcast, what a like yeah. I'm.
Yeah, I felt like it was pertinent to this podcast to talk about.
I got some wiener related.
I saw. I got some wiener related news.
How did that happen?
I was peeing with the door open. He was peeing with the door open, and I walked to use the restroom, and I just saw it hanging out.
Dude, what are you doing? Like, not you, him. Like,
no, I know.
And he's from, like, Bosnia or something, right?
Portugal, but, yeah, close. It does all the same. It doesn't matter.
All that Europe with their socialism.
Speaking of, we should get to the review.
Socialism dominates this podcast. 1 out of 5 stars, because America. Oh, no. Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah,
I guess.
From New Who to Blue Who. Is that just sad New Who? I'm feeling more Blue Who today.
That's so Blue Who.
Womp, womp, womp.
No, it's in reference to this week, the I Just Blew Myself Sounders FC stare into the deep, never-ending abyss of time and space where reality and consciousness collide, resulting in impending thoughts of doom and self-doubt.
Yeah, that's true. That is what happened. We did get a review. We did get a review. This is from Jen Eric 253. Love that name. They say in their review.
Way to rub it in with 5 stars, though. We're looking at 2 right now, and you put 5 on there.
Yeah, ouch. it saved
too
us,
soon.
It did save us some money. Jen Eric says, a podcast. Thank you. Thank you for those kind words.
Yes, yes.
Booja Booja, Gustav Svensson, Booja Booja Boo, best of the rest. That is the review. God. That is all of it. Thank
Not
you.
Not only do
that.
You listen, but you listen concisely. Like, you pick up on the details.
I like that we've never talked about how you spell Booja Booja Boo, and he spelled it exactly the way that we spell it.
And we're not going to say how that is either.
No,
so you
no,
have to
no.
go find out for yourself. Head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a comment, please, with a 5-star review.
Easy way to access that, as well as all of our social media, is at full90podcast.com, a website that is really just a few links.
We did it!
We did it.
Usually people would use their link tree to direct you to their OnlyFans, but ours isn't ready yet. So, yeah. And I'm not going to put my secret waist down OnlyFans link up here. Also,
but we won't even know if it's your waist down because we won't be able to see the top half up. I don't know. You could be a torso wearing a trench coat over a very small person with long legs. For all I know, you are a very tall person.
It's true. Yeah. It's Man, I kind of want to do this now to see if anyone is willing to pay to see my lower half without knowing it's me.
There
like,
you go.
There's got to be someone out there that's like, yeah, this guy needs to work out.
And I can tell because of his wiener.
Well, I mean, I would if that was something that could be affected by working out, I would be much more fit, so let me tell you. So there was a soccer match, and it was terrible.
Oh, I think what makes the fact that the Sounders lost 3-0, and not it wasn't just like a bad score line that didn't reflect the way the game was played.
American boys talking tosh don't even say nil.
3-bouja. The fact that the Sounders lost 3-0 is bad enough. What's worse is that I don't feel like it's quite indicative of how bad the match actually was. Sometimes people will say something like, oh, that scoreline actually flatters, you know, Columbus Crew because it was much closer than the 3-0 looks. In reality, this match could have been like 6-0 to Columbus. Like the Sounders came out. And I think what makes it worse is the fact that the week before, the Sounders had pulled off the most incredible comeback against the Minnesota Lunited. And so to be able to like see that and have hope, and like they gave us hope in that Minnesota match. And then they came out there and just went all donkey on it and played terrible
old donkey dong on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was isn't that one of like Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court Justice's friends was like Donkey Doug.
That was just a typo. It was actually Donkey Dong. He's got an OnlyFans for it and everything.
That is the director's cut of Shrek that nobody wanted.
Hey, Shrek!
And it cuts over to Donkey, and it's just got to blurt out, like, we needed to make sure that all of the animals in Shrek were anatomically correct.
But I want it to be, like, hilariously either too big or small.
Yeah, exactly.
that's just for fun. Same with Shrek, too. Let's go. We're going to go for it.
At least he's wearing pants. Oh, is he wearing pants?
Yeah, I think he wears pants.
Is this one of those things that's, like you don't know if Stanley from The Office, like, everybody remembers it incorrectly about whether or not he has a mustache? Have you ever heard that? Yeah, he does have a mustache, but like there's like a running thing. It's almost like the Berenstain Bear effect. You know, people are like, is it spelled like this? Is it spelled like that? Or it's the Mandela effect, right? Like a lot of people think that Mandela died in prison, even though he was the president for a very long time after he left prison.
So I've never heard that. That's amazing.
Yeah, there's this idea. There's a lot of people think that there was a movie called Shazam. That was about Sinbad playing a genie, similar to the movie Kazam, starring Shaq playing a genie. So anyway, there's this idea that all of this stuff is misremembered. So it very well could be.
I can't remember where we started with that. That's something about dongs.
I can't either, to be honest.
Supreme Court dong, is that what it was? Yeah. That's where we're at. Welcome to all our new listeners.
It's a weird time to pick to play your worst game of the season if you're the Seattle Sounders.
My summation of it for Monday morning, after getting a day away from it and then remembering I had to talk about it again, Seattle Sounders FC delivered one of the worst performances of the season on the biggest stage, losing MLS Cup to Columbus 3-0. I pulled up the score lines from the last lots of matches that they played leading up to this. And there were some big ones, but also just kind of there was nothing like going into this. I didn't have the confidence that the team was going to deliver this big result because they just hadn't been. They started the season so well and the depth was there. And then as soon as we said we're going to need the depth because there's players going away on international duty, the season just kind of like went into coast from there and never came back to the team. Now, that being said, massive final there. The Western Conference final was a massive performance by them and amazing, but also a 3-1 loss to Colorado was like not awesome leading up to the playoffs, and then they dismantled San Jose a week later though, so it just looked like a team that had been run ragged, and the depth that we had been hammering on about just wasn't there. And it wasn't, you know, you get a couple performances out of Alex Roldan and then he falls apart. You get a couple performances where you're seeing a different squad out there, and it just kind of came unglued. There was no confident feeling that was the team, other than that high that you were riding from Nuhu putting a cup on his head, like that was like the
it's confidence, like, and we've talked about this in years past. I think last week I even talked about how for the first time in a while I was watching the Sounders go into a match feeling very strong about how they could perform because of the way they finished the match against Minnesota. I was talking about how in the past we often feel like these great performances from the Sounders, even the years that they've won MLS Cup, kind of feel like they're paper over the cracks because like they don't put a bunch of consistent performances week in and week out, and then they enter the playoffs and it's a crapshoot at that point. It's anybody's game. Anybody can come in sixth place. Colorado can make the playoffs somehow on points per game and still like have a realistic chance at making it to the final. Yeah. So we put all of this value, or we should put all of this value, in my opinion, in whoever wins the Supporters Shield every year. Yet the Sounders haven't won that since 2014. So lately we've been putting a lot of stock into the MLS Cup. So I felt really confident about this team going into this final because of the way that they've been, at least the way that they've shown that they are capable of playing. But maybe that confidence was a little bit misplaced because I kind of wrote off the lack of consistency that we often see from the Sounders. And that's been forever. Even the year that in 2014, when they won the Supporters Shield, it was kind of like the year that Leicester won the Premier League Championship. It wasn't necessarily that they were an insanely talented, good team. They were, sure. But it was because the rest of the league kind of crapped the bed. And nobody decided to step up and take the mantle as the best team in the league. It just kind of
it was everyone
to
else's,
whoever. Exactly.
It was everyone else's title to lose, and whoever just did the best at not losing won. And so, yeah. I mean, that's very generic because you could say that about anything, but usually you think about it from a winner's perspective, but instead you're looking at whoever just doesn't F it up the most could be the most
successful. You want to look at a season like Toronto from a couple of years ago where they won the Canadian treble. I have a hard time saying they won the treble because the Canadian Voyagers Cup, which is their version of the Open Cup, is so... It's limited, right? Like, it's such a smaller pool. You're not playing against as much MLS competition, as many teams on the same level as you. So, yes, they won the treble, but the way that they won the MLS Cup, they were dominant. The MLS Cup, but also the Supporters Shield, they were dominant throughout the season. Same with LAFC. Was that last year that they won the Supporters Shield? LAFC was dominant, and they played like it. And every week that you watched them play, you knew what you were going to see. It's like Manchester City winning the Premier League. When they win it in a way that suffocates the rest of the teams in the league, right? Like, you know that there's no way or that you can step up to that team to play them. And if you do and you walk out with a result, it's because, you know, it was an off day for the other team as opposed to you having a great day, right? Or sometimes a combination of the two. Anyway, all of that is to say is that the Sounders go into this match, in my opinion, a favorite. And most of the experts' opinion, I'm not at all putting myself on that pedestal, but like Sounders go into that as the favorites, and Columbus go into it having won a lot of games 3-0 in the lead up to that match and then win this game 3-0. So maybe we just either discounted them or oversold or overshot our faith in the Sounders.
Well, it's the what have you done for me lately syndrome. I don't know if that's not a real thing, but like the idea that you walk away with your most recent result, and that's kind of where you hang your hat, is the idea that, oh my God, this team is resilient. They could be down so much, but make a comeback. At no point when they were down 2-0 going into the second half was I like, this is the team after like 5 minutes that's going to make that comeback again. It just didn't, you didn't see those sparks.
Well, at some point, I think during the match when the Sounders were already down 2-0, I put out a tweet on Full 90 Podcast, like, when is Schmetzer time? If Schmetzer time is going to be a thing, now is the time for Schmetzer time to be a thing. The Sounders are, again, down 2-0. Schmetzer starts making subs like he did against Minnesota, but the first sub is for Nuhu, who had been having a decent game up to that point.
I don't know that Nuhu was playing out of his mind or anything, but the one there was, and I hate to call out anyone for bad performances because it's not, you know, we're here to goof off.
The entire team got crushed.
But it was that whole right side looked real bad. And so that was like a definite weak point that was being exposed. Alex Roldan was getting beaten and he didn't have the support from Jovan Jones. It just looked like a totally flat side over there. And you would expect, you know, regular bench player Kelvin Leerdam to come off the bench and, you know, maybe hopefully pull off a huge result on the right and help out. Like, you have your golden clog winning scoring machine, 3 goals on the season, right back, who like is your starter. And like, I appreciate that you want to be consistent because the guys get used to playing, but it was clear early on that there was a problem there and that you needed to do that. To then make the exact opposite change, like, were you just trying to be like, ha ha, I got you, Porter. Yeah. You thought we were going to, yeah, you thought you had to worry about someone, Kelvin Leerdam coming on, and said we took out Nuhu.
Maybe. Schmetzer twists his twirly German DJ mustache.
Like, he wipes off his, wait, does Schmetzer have a mustache? Is this the Stanley effect?
No, I think that maybe what happened is that we didn't know how bad the injuries were that Kelvin Leerdam and Gustav Svensson were recovering from. Maybe like, and apparently Nico Ladero was on an injury and he went the full 90. So it's just maybe a chance that those guys were more injured than we thought. We thought for sure after the Minnesota game, we talked about it on the podcast, that those guys were your shoe-in starters based on the way they performed. But it could be, and Schmetzer obviously knows better. Schmetzer knows Betzer.
Best.
that those guys might be holding injuries that are a little bit, you know, worse. They couldn't go full 90, let alone, you know, 45.
I think in German, Besser is B-E-S-S-E-R. I think okay. Besser is...
I'm going to go with Betzer. Schmetzer knows Betzer.
Does he?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard. Throughout, I have a question for you. So obviously, Brian Schmetzer contracts are up for discussion, right? Far as I know, at least at the time of recording, that he has not had his contract signed. He is not finalized. He is not locked in as the Sounders coach moving forward. I still think that that deal gets done somehow. However, you know, you see the performances against Minnesota, against LAFC, against all these other teams in the playoffs. The Sounders play well under him, but do they play well enough to where the Sounders don't think, or Garth Lagerwey doesn't think, that he might be able to get a little bit better out of a different coach, maybe a coach of a higher caliber? And this is not me saying Schmetzer out, for the record. I don't want Schmetzer to go anywhere. I would like him to be the coach moving forward. I think he...
You're just highlighting a possible scenario.
Like, in the question, I guess, for you that I have is, does watching the way that the Sounders played in that MLS Cup final and seeing this kind of subs that Schmetzer made in that match make you think that there might be a level of doubt in your mind or in their mind that Schmetzer is going to be like the high caliber coach that the Sounders need to kind of step up to that next level, to dominate and win the Supporters Shield every year, to play like LAFC did last year in Toronto the year before?
Yeah, I my money's on Schmetz. I tend to look at these types of questions as an emotional reaction, that we have to look at the last five seasons and see what the success has looked like under him. And it's been nothing short of phenomenal. The idea that there's big performances get lost, like on the road in Toronto, losing 2-0 because Ladero is absolutely shut down in the midfield, kind of a similar situation that happened on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Those types of things, maybe there might be decisions made on for those matches that you could critique, but as a team manager, somebody who's got to be looking at all the pieces all year long and making sure he stays on top of that, I think that you would be hard pressed to find somebody that could slip in and be as excellent as that. Now, you could probably find somebody that would make a bigger performance, that could make a statement, that could come in if you splashed a ton of cash for a bunch of players and you could make a run at that supporter shield, and someone could probably get it done. But I think a lot of places you see that doesn't necessarily pan out really well. Yeah. Then you got Bruce Arena, who turns around the Revs and it like is going really well. He's that high caliber coach. But then you look at Atlanta United, and yeah, he got some big performances out of some young kids that were really hungry, but then he can't maintain that type of thing.
Or even LA Galaxy brings in, you know, Shaletto and San Jose brings in whatever their guy is, and both of those teams tank, right? Like, they bring in high caliber, you know, Boca Juniors coach. Like, Boca Juniors, one of the biggest teams, if not the biggest team, sorry, River Plate, in South America, and he comes in and can't get a tune out of LA Galaxy, and you know, they are at the bottom of the table in the Western Conference, if not at the bottom, very close to the bottom.
And it's the league. It's the league's fault. It's that you have to be able to manage a league where you have the $54,000 man as one of your starters.
Like, well, and so
Nuhu now makes 70, to be fair. But like, you're talking about a guy that doesn't even make starting Amazon money to be a professional sports star. And you have to, as a manager, get that kind of performance out of this kid, because the league is so whack that like that's what we're really looking at. Whereas Boca Juniors can, you know, splash a little bit more money because it's such a big deal there. So it's, yeah, to be able to manage a squad with the resources you have, that's something that Schmetzer's excelled at.
Well, I think that brings us well into the kind of the biggest news, the only real news other than, you know, lamenting over the way that the season ended, is the players that the Sounders are going to have going into the new season.
I'm so stoked about who was retained, whose options were taken up. We'll start with the positives, I suppose. They announced, you know, like every year, just days after the MLS Cup, after their season ends, they announce whose options are being taken up, who's out, who's out of contract. That's, you know, known going into it. But retained, Big Will Bruin, who didn't have a season this year because of injuries and just not being able to get any minutes. Stefan Fry is awesome that they would not look elsewhere. Like, he's such a motor for the back there. Hope Yao, the young kid who only got a few minutes. That's okay. Whatever. I'm either way. The one that's big for me is that we're going to see Nuhu for another season. Obviously, I'm a big Nuhu fan now. Yeah. Before the match, I asked you, should I buy the 25th anniversary jersey? Yes or no? Because I wanted to go full Nuhu and really support. But then my follow-up question was like, percent chance that he plays in Seattle next year.
Sure. And well, and just because the Sounders retain his option, as far as I understand, doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be playing with the team next season. That just means that they still have control over his contract. And if, you know, some League Two team in France, which is sounds like who was kind of barking at his door last year in the offseason, if some League Two team wants to come and pick him up, he's not a free agent or he's not under out of contract. The Sounders can pick something up for that transfer should he get picked up. Now, my personal hope is that Nuhu is in Rave Green next season and it's not just a money-making move by Garth and the boys, Garth Vader, as I like to, as he's known apparently now that the Sounders are the dark side. What I think is interesting is the other players that are picked up that, you know, Shandon Hopiau, young guy, obviously the Sounders, by retaining this option, see a lot of potential in, right? But the other player, Shane O'Neill, who stepped up big for the Sounders this season, who stepped up in place of some injuries to Arriaga, and Alex Roldan, who last season was cut from the team. Last offseason was cut from the team, earned his way back really at the very, very tail end of this season, and not only earned his way back into the roster, but apparently earned a contract for the coming season.
Good for him, too. Like, even though, like I said, I don't like to be super critical of these guys. You know, he just had a couple bad matches, and just really one bad match at the wrong time. But he really did work his ass off to be able to have that spot and to be able to start over Kelvin Leardon. That's like a big statement. So it's good that they backed that up by at least retaining him. I'd be okay if, you know, some of these guys use this to their advantage to be able to springboard into a new spot. Like, a Nuhu playing in League 2 in France is probably good for a Nuhu, and I'd be happy for him, but I'd like to see old Crazy Legs out there, you know, bicycle kicking for no reason. That's like, that guy's having fun playing the game. Guys still under contract that shouldn't be a surprise for anyone, but just to get you up to speed, Yamar and Arriaga will both be back. Josh Atencio, we didn't really see much from Dilem, Dumbledore, Leyva, Jordan and Morris still contracted, although, you know, he fed the gossip columns everything he needed to the other day by saying, I you know, if someone came with the right offer, I would consider it, which is exactly how you should live your life all the time, that if there's a better opportunity, you should always look to take it, but did not say he's leaving. Stop it. Trey Muse, AOC, Christian Roldan, Raul Ruiz Diaz, and Brad Smith. The cut list is what I find to be concerning, and also about Nico Ladero's future. The cut list, people who did not have their contract options renewed were Justin Dillon, that sucks, Miguel Ibarra, Jovan Jones also. JJ, since his comeback, has not looked like he did before he left, and he was always kind of hit or miss. He had some big games and strung a few together, but he is kind of the... For me, he's kind of the face of that problem you're talking about of inconsistency and just kind of he was a good backup player to have, but I don't know that you keep him on.
I think that's a really good observation on your part of saying, like, he is, if you boiled the Sounders down to a single person, for better and worse, it's Jovan Jones. When he's on, he's on. Like, he is an incredible player. He's fast. He sees, I'm not going to get into tactics, but he's a great, great player. But when he's off, it's like, why the Sounders are basically playing with 10 men.
Yeah, watching him not track back, watching him, like, just kind of be, not make that extra run, not being able to get into space. Just like those things, you're like, oh, man, there's guys that are, you could put, they're not the same player, but you could put Hopiau out there that hasn't gotten any minutes and he'll hopefully work. Hope you fully work harder. God damn it! Yeah, I'm such a loser.
I do want to go back to AOC because, like, so Alfonso Ocampo-Chavez, young academy player that the Sounders picked up. He's from the Sounders academy. They didn't pick him up, but they signed him to the first team. There will be times where I'm talking about politics with a friend, and somebody mentions AOC, and I'm like, oh, Alfonso Ocampo, and I cannot remember. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, like, I can't remember what her name is because I'm so like Alfonso Ocampo-Chavez.
God, you're such a white male, asshole.
I know. It's bad. Okay, so then those guys are cut and not coming back. Like, that's just the Sounders have the option. That's why they call it an option. The Sounders had the option to continue those contracts. It's not like they needed to renegotiate their contracts. They just had the option to keep them or not. They could realistically, if they wanted to keep Jovan Jones, now that they've declined his option, they could go renegotiate with him for a smaller, you know, contract.
We'll pay you 1.3 new who's.
So you want to give me $80,000? But then what's interesting is the players who are out of contract. So they didn't have an option year, and that's, you know, we're not going to explain the options, but they didn't have an option either. They're straight up out of contract that the Sounders could be or could not be negotiating with. One of those players was Nico Lodero. Reports are out that Nico Lodero has re-signed with the team. He'll be in Rave Green for
a couple months. I thought Nico's contract was still on. It's just that he wants to settle up on a next contract. Otherwise, he's going to start looking to go somewhere.
Oh, sure.
Else.
Like next year would be his contract year. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think that he has this one more season in him.
So that's different. So then these other players, though, that are now out of contract with the Sounders, a few of them I can't imagine we'll see back in Rave Green. Stephen Cleveland, Jimmy Bedron.
I don't even know who that is.
He was a backup goalkeeper to, you always want to have three on your roster. He was just the backup to the backup. He was backup to Trey Muse. Stephen Cleveland, Jimmy Madronda, who the Sounders just recently picked up from, was it Nashville? It was when we got rid of Handwall Abuana. That was a trade. Yep. And then you've got bench player Kelvin Leerdam, bench players Kelvin Leerdam and Gustav Svensson, and then Roman Torres are all out of contract. Roman Torres, I don't think the Sounders will pick back up based on the fact that they, I think, re-signed Shane O'Neill. They probably are going to try to bring up a center back either out of the academy or go find another young guy. Roman Torres barely saw minutes even when Arriaga was injured this season.
Yeah, I think that was just doing him a solid just to be like, you know, we can fill a roster spot, have some depth, but also like we've signed plenty of center backs now.
Right. And then but then you got Kelvin Leerdam and Gustav Svensson. Gustav, I remember last year Gustav Svensson seemed like he wasn't going to like he was talking about going back to Sweden. I think he just misses Sweden. And so he is out of contract, and the Sounders are probably trying to renegotiate with him.
I hear their homeless camps in Sweden are like 10 times bigger. And so he's like, they're just not. No, I'm sorry.
Well, there's a lot of work there for psychiatrist Dr. Carl Svensson to do. and then Kelvin Leerdam.
Also, no disrespect to the people without homes. I'm just,
of course.
It's just what Seattle has become. And okay. Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Kelvin Leerdam, on the other hand, I do imagine this. So Gustav Svensson's up in the air. I have no idea if he's going to be back with the team. As if I had an idea about anything at all, ever, about the Sounders.
He's old enough that like it really does lean like what other
question.
Club is going to pick him up if
it's
not one of his, you know, he's still a captain of his international squad, so he's playing at his prime, but if he's not going to go back to Sweden, why not stay where you're already the established guy? And
yeah, and then you've got Kelvin Leerdam, who Golden Clog winner 2 years straight, so I can't imagine that
if they don't sign him, I'm going to be like, Kelvin Leer, goddamn.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And then the other player that we haven't talked about, who I think was important to a lot of the Sounders, at least resurgence of the second half of the season, is what I hear on the broadcast called Jowl Paulo. And it's not because of a thick jaw, thick with two C's, that sexy, thick jaw.
Sexy jowl. That guy gets subbed off in like the 51st minute of the matchup. I know he's got a yellow card, and maybe he's one of the people that's walking wounded out there, but by God. Anyway, sorry.
So it turns out that at least on Twitter right before we started recording, it sounds like Jowl Paulo might have re-signed with the team, or the Sounders worked out some sort of deal with, I think it was Botafogo, that he was on loan from, that they might have either worked out a deal to keep him for another season or two, or have just re-signed him, or signed him to a full contract. If that is true, I think that he would be on a designated player contract, which means that dude got paid. But either way, he should be back with the team, it sounds like.
Great. He's such an important piece of that midfield, especially if you have Gustav out there, the two of them together. If I was a low-key fan of MLS coming into Seattle, they're probably not on your radar, those two guys, because you have the Rui Diaz and the Nico Lodero that get all the attention. Stefan Fry, tons of attention. New who, obviously, for his awesome stepovers. But I don't think your casual fan is coming in here to like naming those two guys as like potential problems. And I think that they're kind of like some of the best central defensive midfielders out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think Joao Paulo is one of those guys that is starting to get more credit. He's just not been in the league very long. He's not been with the Sounders very long. So I think he will continue to kind of build up his rapport, especially alongside Nico Lodero. Those guys, I mean, we talked about this last week. Joao Paulo plays like the adult on the field while everybody else in MLS plays like an Alex Roldan or a Nuhu.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Okay, I want to talk about a funny phenomenon that I was thinking about, especially when we're talking about contracts and we're talking about people coming back or people not. You talk about a guy like Gustav Svensson who, you know, you're talking about his age. Maybe he won't continue in MLS. Like, maybe he'll go back and play in Sweden. So there's this funny phenomenon in my mind that I would love to, like, be a fly on the wall for, okay? You talk about players like Zach Scott or, I'm trying to think, a Harry Ship, right? Guys who have retired and then gone into a professional career post MLS, because the thing about MLS is it doesn't necessarily set you up to never have to work again. It sets you up to go back to college, finish the degree that you started working on, and then go get a real job. So Zach Scott works for a company, like a consulting company in town in Seattle now, that is also a sponsor of the Sounders. But he's not there as like a Sounders representative. He's not there as a look at us, we hired Zach Scott, because
like
Zach
when
Scott
the Sounders
not...
hired Brad Evans.
Yeah it's like if Brad Evans went to work at, like, I don't know, Deloitte as an accountant, right? Like, so anyway, so I'm always curious, like, what this phenomenon is like. I sit in a lot of, you know, corporate meetings, a lot of meetings where everybody's introducing themselves and talking about their previous background and like, oh, I used to work here and then I worked here and this is my background and blah blah blah. So I'm really curious about, like, if you're Harry Ship or if you're one of these Miguel Ibarra or Jovan Jones, like one of these guys who is about to enter a second phase of life where they have to get a real job, like how do you explain, like, your professional soccer career? Like I've been connected with professional soccer players on LinkedIn who say that, like, their job says professional soccer player. I'm like, why do you use LinkedIn? Why are you using LinkedIn to connect with other professional soccer players?
That's smart.
Like,
that's why.
I thought you guys just DM'd each other on Twitter.
Primarily.
Yeah, there you go. just the lower half. But no, that's so I'm curious. Mean. I'm curious. I don't know. I'm just curious how those...
Well, Brandon, this is like right on the head for me, man. Like, as a guy who has done nothing but make jokes on the internet for a living, I'm a radio host, a broadcaster for forever. Like, at some point, like, teenagers aren't going to be like, this is the guy that I can relate to. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be making jokes about Pluto for forever, but... What, like, if I have to do another job and we lose our hosting for this website, oh boy, what do I do after having been a professional media figure within a city for forever? Do you transition to another, I'm lucky because my age doesn't, like, at some point, physical ability doesn't affect if I can get another job, but, like, do I go into the workforce?
Justin Dillon at 29 years old is like, hey, wait a second, my physical ability isn't what's preventing me from playing.
Well, then he can get another gig somewhere. Sure. You know, like, he can keep playing soccer. Yeah. But Zach Scott working for Slalom, like, he doesn't have, maybe he could have played another season or two, I don't know, but, like, it wasn't like he could play 14 more years in the league. Right.
What are you putting on your resume as, like, as a former broadcaster? Or, I mean, you've got plenty. I mean, I could sit here and uplift you for the next 5 minutes about how much.
Great.
You could.
Let's
bring
just take a break and we'll just do that. Yeah,
No, but, like, if you're a guy who has been playing in professional soccer or some capacity since you were 14 years old, right? Starting in an academy, playing all the way through, getting signed by a team, you know, going until you can't play anymore. Your resume is, what can you bring to the table at Slalom Consulting? Well, I kick a ball real hard and I've gotten 7 concussions.
My head don't work so good no more. Yeah, dude, it's, I guess you make those connections, like you do the endorsements, you do the, when it, you know, when they need to send somebody to the QFC or whatever to stand out there and shake hands and encourage people to vote, you go do that and you meet the executives for the Kroger company.
Yeah, if you,
and
then, if you become a club legend, if you become Brad Evans or Steve Zakawani, and then you can, or, and you can go,
what
represent,
does Zakawani even do?
What does he do? I don't know.
He must have a job.
I think he writes for MajorLeagueSoccerSoccer.com.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's a terrible job.
Apparently, they pay very well by the fact that they just laid off everybody, so that means they have more money to spend on.
Oh, no, did they?
Oh, yeah. It's like everybody in MLS has gotten laid off across the league, across the teams. Like, it's everybody's gone.
Yeah, I get it when there's no fans in stands and you can't charge $14 for a beer. That's like what's going to happen. To think all those overlays were the over the actual, I would, for the record, I would literally let them overlay 50 graphics on the field for my friends to keep their jobs in these businesses.
Course.
Like,
of
I don't,
course.
Like, the soccer could be totally secondary for like a couple seasons.
Now,
and totally.
Can the Adidas logo just be the entire size of the pitch? Do we, how badly do we need to see the ball? Can we just glow puck it?
Idea. Can we change the shape of the pitch to a triangle to better accommodate?
Perfect.
Three teams could play. Yeah. Think how many sponsors you could put everywhere.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, my God. Regionally, you could just do that same matchup again and have LAFC, LA Galaxy, and the other California team, San Jose, all play at the same time.
Yeah.
Pandemonium.
Okay, so this brings me to another point about how players make money. Okay, so we joke all the time about how Nuhu makes $0, right?
Bottom half OnlyFans.
Yeah. Well, okay, so there's recently a story, and this is so messed up. Like the way that it was reported, I'm not obviously going to say this person's name, but the way that it was reported, it was in the New York Post, which is a very dodgy publication. They reported a story, basically without this person's permission, about a EMT or a paramedic in New York that had, because we are so bad as a country, as a culture, paying people who do important stuff, she had to start paying her bills by supplementing her income with, not that she had to do this, but she chose to do an OnlyFans and sell pictures of, like, suggestive pictures of herself online to make up the money that we don't pay her as a life-saving paramedic in the country. And that's not, you know, that's not just New York. That's everywhere. So TLDR, pay nurses more money.
If she does not play NFL football, she is not as important as the rest of the country. Okay.
True. True. Slap a Buffalo Bills helmet on her and wait, she still won't get paid.
Yeah. Hauschka would like a word.
Slap a New York Jets. No, that's nope, still, not, nope, still nope. Nothing. So all I'm saying is that maybe, just maybe, there's a income opportunity here for Nuhu. supplement his income with an OnlyFans. And I'm not talking, I'm not saying that Nuhu has to sell naked pictures of himself.
But you're not saying he doesn't.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm saying he can choose what kind of content he sells on this OnlyFans. Maybe it's just him saying booja, 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 booja.
For a minute, I thought he was selling sunglasses when I got a DM from him. But,
right. Yeah, well, so that's what Alex Roldan is doing as well, selling me, like, reused shoes or something. I don't know.
they were hacked, just to be clear, so
yeah,
people know that
both
we're
those guys got hacked and reached out to everybody.
Okay, so you're scrolling through OnlyFans, and you come across bottoms down, and you're like, this person seems very fit. When he starts doing insane crossovers for no reason, you're like, I've gone too far. I can never watch this game again.
Just, all you're seeing is like legs and a wiener doing step overs.
Also, somebody please make that content. I don't need to see
it
necessarily.
No, make it for yourself. Please don't. Do not send it to us. Like,
I mean, if you do, that's hilarious, to be fair, but also, yeah, just helicoptering wiener while someone's doing stepovers.
Man, he is finding new and creative ways every day to clear the ball. To clear the balls?
Well, we talked a lot about bottoms only, OnlyFans. We should start a new site. I got it. It's called Boofer, and it's bottom only, OnlyFans. Boofer.com/full90podcast.
We are talking. I think it's just you call it. Bottoms OnlyFans.